Thank you. Developing and more importantly, implementing integrated management programs to control glyphosate-resistant Palma amaranth will be absolutely essential in some of our production areas, especially in those areas where we have very significant seed bank populations and we have dry land production. Herbicides alone will simply not provide us control in those very problematic regions. Here's just an example of better than a $50 herbicide program, and you can see we do not have acceptable control, so we have got to integrate our programs, at least in these very heavily infested problematic areas. Now, we do know from previous research, when we think about building or developing an integrated program, there are some practices that we can implement into our traditional herbicide-type programs. One of those is deep turning or moldboard plowing. We know that the Palma amaranth seed that we fight in a general year are mostly coming from that top inch or so. And if we're capable to take those Palma amaranth seed on the top and bury them at least 4 inches deep, we can greatly reduce the amount of Palma amaranth we have to fight during that given year. And then when you implement that into a herbicide program, and here's an example where you have the exact same herbicide program, obviously dry land production, no deep tillage versus deep tillage. The only benefit that you're seeing there is from deep turning or basically burying the Palma amaranth where you have a reduced amount of Palma amaranth that comes up. The theory here is if it doesn't come up, we don't have to kill it and we won't lose. Now, that is one decent or good approach that we're moving forward with in conventional tillage, but we also have a significant amount of conservation tillage. In the state of Georgia, we're somewhere around 50% where we do strip-till production mostly. We do very little no-till, but strip-till production. That we also have the potential to integrate a different type of program, and that's using the cover crop residue in the same effort to keep the Palma amaranth from coming up, because again, if it doesn't come up, we don't have to figure out how to kill it. Here's just an example of some work that Dr. York and myself did back many years ago now, where you look at percent reduction in Palma amaranth control along the y-axis, and if you look along the x-axis, you can see we had both wheat and rye biomass, but basically as you increase the level of biomass you have, the greater the reduction in the Palma amaranth is emerging. And I must say, back in 2007, we weren't very good at producing biomass, and we have greatly improved that, and I'll show some of those results today. Here's just an example when comparing a strip-till situation when you take advantage of some biomass with a very sound herbicide program versus a conventional program. And I want to emphasize this conventional program is essentially herbicides. It's no deep turning, it's no plowing, it's no hand weeding, but the things that we used to do are what we used to call a conventional program. And the only difference there is the improved control because of the residue prohibiting or reducing the amount of Palma amaranth that emerges, the exact same scenario in conventional tillage with breaking the land. Now, in both of our situations where we improve Palma amaranth control from breaking the land and or using the residue, it's proven very beneficial. But I was interested in conducting a study with my cohorts and my colleagues to determine the impacts of integrating both deep turning and intense cover crops in a Roundup and Ignite-based program for the control of glyphosate-resistant Palma amaranth. Our experiment was, of course, conducted in Macon County, where we have a very nice population of glyphosate-resistant Palma amaranth. Our treatment was a factorial arrangement. We had two deep tillage options, two cover crop options, and then four herbicide programs. Now, our two deep tillage options were we deep turned the land and we used a moldboard plow, or we did not deep turn the land. Our two cover crop options was a rye crop or no rye. But I've got to emphasize the difference in our ability to manage rye and get a good stand of cotton is growing much faster than our ability to control Palma amaranth. This is an example of where we've rolled the rye, we've run the strip till rig, and we have even planted the cotton. And if you look closely, in the past we would never have any residue left in the drill, but we are getting much better at that. And some of the results you will see were directly influenced by there is residue in the drill. Also on your right, I wanted to show you, you have 2009 rye I planted in about November that is emerging after or through the 2008 rye I planted the previous year and grew a cotton crop. So we're talking about a serious amount of mulching effect and a significant potential benefit from there. And convincing our growers that we can manage this type of residue will be our greatest challenge. our full herbicide programs, a non-treated or no herbicide control, three applications of Weathermax, and then two very sound, expensive herbicide programs that are typical for our growers of today. One would be a Weathermax-based program, and one would be an Ignite-based program. But everything else within those two programs, as you can see, are the same. Our herbicides and the rates we applied were very typical for our region. We did plant 0949 Delta Pine in our Roundup-based program, and we planted a Phytogen Y-Strike cotton in our Ignite-based program. Our plot size was 4 rows by 50 feet. Typical herbicide applications, we measured Palmer Amaranth emergence during early season, cotton injury, weed control, and yield I will present to you today. Now, I do want to take just a minute. 2009 was extremely unique for us. Been in Georgia for 10 years, and rainfall does not usually occur very timely. But on our herbicides that I applied, you can see here within 5 days of our pre-emergence herbicides, I had an inch of rain. Within 3 days of our post-emergence herbicides with Parlay or Metolachlor, we got activation. And then even at lay-by with a diuron, we got activation. So for the 10 years that I've been in Georgia, this is absolutely by far and away the best that we would do as far as activating our residual herbicides. Now, when you get that kind of rainfall, especially at planting, and you have the soil types that we have, you will get injury. It's a very common scene. Here's an example of some reflex damage that was noted at 10 days. It's slow to grow out of it, but it will over time grow out of it and return to normal growth. Because of the hot, humid, wet conditions, we also had rapid cotton growth even in dry land production, and our post-emergence herbicides also gave us greater injury than what we're typically used to with the Roundup plus Parlay. And also, as you can see with the Ignite plus Parlay, remember the Ignite plus Parlay is on a Y-Strike cotton, not a Liberty Link. Traditionally, 1 out of 4 times we see significant injury with Ignite on Y-Strike cotton. This would be one of those examples. And about 9 days after these pictures, we could not visually see any injury whatsoever. It recovered quite nicely. Now, in controlling glyphosate-resistant Palmer amaranth, we do know if you don't have nearly complete control within 2 to 3 weeks of planting, you essentially won't have a chance of surviving because of the glyphosate and ALS resistant issues we have. So we wanted to measure the impact of our tillage and our cover crop on the emergence of Palmer amaranth. And it's very important in strip till production, at least when you're using a residue, that you make these measurements both in the drill as well in the row middle. The red bar will show you the drill, and the blue bar will show you the row middle. And what you're looking at is reduction in Palmer amaranth emergence as affected by these tillages or cover crops. Now, I do want to point out over here on the left-hand side, we did have a fairly decent population of Palmer amaranth at 620 plants per square meter. So if you need some, we have plenty, let us know. Deep turning, we've done 4 or 5 deep turning trials, and interestingly, we're usually between 45 and 55% reduction in Palmer amaranth emergence, and we saw the exact same scenario here, and it didn't matter, obviously, if it was in the row middle or in the row. And with our rye cover crop, in the drill, this is by far and away the best we've ever had, and again, that's why I emphasized the amount of residue we had in the row itself. We were able to reduce Palmer amaranth emergence about 50%. Obviously, we have far more residue in the row middle, and that's better than any herbicide that I've ever applied in controlling Palmer amaranth at that time. Interestingly, when we integrated both deep turning and a rye cover crop, we were able to improve the level of control or greater reduction in the Palmer amaranth that emerges by using that approach. And again, my ultimate goal is if it's not there or it doesn't come up, then I don't have to kill it and I don't get fussed at a whole lot. Now, when you looked at the impact of tillage or cover crop in the Roundup Ready program itself, it was quite significant. Looking at percent Palmer amaranth control at harvest, where you didn't have any deep tillage or no cover, we only had 63% control. Now, I mentioned we got the best activating rainfalls that we have ever had. But also, I wanted to mention, not only did we get activating rainfall, we got continual rainfall. And after our Parlay applications went out, we had a tremendous amount of rain, and I don't believe my Parlay lasted more than about 10 days. So in that situation, it was a significant amount of time from my Parlay running out of providing activity to the lay-by I got there, and I think that's where our greatest problem was with that system. But the bottom line is we did not get very good control. When we added deep turning or a rock cover, we improved control 17 or 18%. But you can see the integrated approach using both deep turning and rock cover crop gave me my first ever excellent control of glyphosate resistant palm amaranth in a Roundup Ready program in a couple of hundred studies over the last 5 years. To give you an example of what we were seeing, again, we have a pretty nice population of glyphosate-resistant palm amaranth. Glyphosate has no activity whatsoever at this location. On your left, you can see the level of control where we had that very sound herbicide program, but you had no deep tillage and you had no cover crop. If we just integrated deep tillage in with that same program, again, just like the previous research, we're able to greatly improve control. We still have palm amaranth in there producing seed, but you can see that they are smaller plants, and we didn't take any seed production counts, but obviously we would expect at least a benefit with smaller seed production amounts. With the with the rye cover crop, you see essentially better cotton, first of all, but you also see about the same level of control you saw by integrating in the deep turning. So both of those practices, if you're a conservation tillage person or you're a conventional tillage person, that's two potential parts of your program that can help you in these severely infested areas that are troubling us so much. However, the best control without a doubt was where we integrated both deep tillage and the rye cover crop, and we had excellent control. Looking at seed cotton yield, initially you would look at it and say the bars are absolutely identical to the level of glyphosate resistant palm amaranth. And we did have improved palm amaranth as you went over to the multiple deep turning and rye cover crop, but I don't think palm amaranth control was the only thing that influenced our yield. I think our tillage land has not been significantly tilled in at least 15 years, and our benefits from the rye cover crop. Even though we had a lot of rain during the year, when we were setting fruit, we had 2-3 week periods where it did not rain, and that mulch, I think, played a role in preserving moisture for that cotton at an important time of the year. Now, if you look at the Roundup programs versus the Ignite-based programs, the only Roundup program that was as effective as our Ignite-based program was when we had both deep tillage and the cover crop where we obtained 98% control. With the Ignite-based programs, it didn't matter what we did. We had excellent control. We had a great year for Ignite controlling palm amaranth. Very hot, very sunny, very humid, very good control this year. So we obtained excellent control. And this is really why I was saying in the previous slide that I think tillage as well as the cover crop impacted yield. Because you see the exact same trends with our wide stripe cotton where we essentially had no palmer amaranth or very low levels of palmer amaranth. So are we getting a response just because we haven't worked the land in the last 15 years? Maybe it is. Is this a freak incident? Maybe it is, but it's something that's exciting because obviously if I'm going to promote deep tillage or promote the use of conservation tillage cover crops, I've got to somehow offset a significant cost. So it's extremely interesting whether it's repeatable or not. We'll find out because we've already started the studies for next year. So in conclusion, heavy residues, cover crop residues, and rye is what we use. Reduced pigweed emergence 50% in the row and 94% in the row middle. Deep turning reduced pigweed emergence 46 to 47%, very consistent over the last 4 years. Deep turning and the cover crops were more effective, at least, in reducing emergence in the drill. For the Roundup Ready systems, herbicides alone, $50-some herbicide program, mid-60s% control. We did improve control if we integrated deep turning or cover crop in with that. However, when we integrated both of them in there, we got significantly better control. And our yields followed trends with palm amaranth control, but again, I think they were influenced greatly by tillage as well as cover crops. In the Ignite-based program, excellent control. We continue to obtain excellent control. We are more timely than a lot of our growers can be, but even this year, some of the more untimely applications provided great control because of a great environment. Yields were increased numerically with the deep tillage by about 10%, 15% increase with cover crop, and it's essentially an additive effect when we went to deep turning plus cover crops. With that, hopefully I'm on time and be glad to entertain any questions if anyone has any.
Any questions for a speaker?
What was the density of your rye? My density of a rye, we put 75 pounds per acre. Good question, because the amount of biomass you produce is directly related to the amount of palm amaranth that you'll reduce from emerging. Good question. And we need to do some work on that. That's been the one rate that we've gone with. We're really just learning how to get a good cotton span and learning how to grow that cotton, because just like many of our growers, we've been scared of it as well.
What were you burned down in rye? Our
rye, we just kill with glyphosate. Rye is super sensitive to Roundup or glyphosate, but you could either go, if you're scared of Roundup, a low rate of paraquat will even kill that when it's got a seed head on it. So we've got great options for rye. Now, we're often quoted as saying rye grass. We never want to do, and the man coming up later will tell you, we're quoted in every article, and I kill them. We're talking about rye, the cereal grain rye. That's critical.
Thanks, Stanley.